God is so good. I want to talk to you this morning about just the courageous power of love. Open your Bibles to 1 John. We're in chapter 4. We're beginning in verse 13. But last week, just want to review a little bit. We talked about our call to love, and we looked at this whole thing that love is both the sum of all God is and all that he does. And we looked at the four measurements of love, and we saw love expressed through the Father sending Jesus. We saw love was exemplified through Jesus becoming, and here was that big word I gave you, propitiation for our sins. And that means that he bore our wrath, the wrath that was against us because of sin Jesus took for us. We saw love exercised through the love of the extra cheek, the love of the extra coat, the love of the extra mile, and the love of the extra mercy. And we saw love exhibited as we allow people to see the invisible God through the expression of our lives of the indwelling God. People will never see the invisible God if we don't allow them to see within us the indwelling God. And so now we come to the courageous power of love. And I want to look at what are the dynamics of the courageous power of love. And so let's look. The first thing I want to bring is that the dynamics are life in the Spirit. I have a lot to say about this. I'm going to try to keep each point brief. But look at 1 John 4:13 with me. It says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." Can we just pray for a moment? Lord, I want to ask that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and I'm speaking of our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, and most of all this morning, a heart to receive the truth of your word, the ministry of your Spirit, and the life of Jesus. Reveal Jesus now through what we look at in this section of 1 John and transform our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our whole life, as in this whole life of being a Christian, it's a life in the Spirit. It's not a life of philosophy. It's not a life of rules. Are there some guidelines in the scripture about how to live and how to behave? Yes, there are. The Bible's full of them. But if you try to live your life by trying to follow rules, you're going to fail miserably because you're bringing yourself right again under the law. The life of a Christian is a life in the Spirit. And it says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us." The word abide in the Greek means to dwell, to endure, to remain. Lana has posted some wonderful things on her blog about when she was in a coma and how she was able to just look back on that and realize that her spirit was alive. Her body couldn't move, it couldn't speak. But her spirit was communing with God. She was alive in the Spirit. And praise God, now she's alive in the body too. And they're going to go camping very soon, right? Or on your trip with your new camp, with your new RV. So praise God for that. Because just a few short months ago, you couldn't even know that anyone was there. Let alone then you couldn't walk. You couldn't feed yourself. This is the miracle of God in the restorative healing power that he has. And so, you know, isn't it neat? We have walking miracles amongst us. Some of you need a miracle this morning. And it all comes by life in the Spirit, not by following rules. And so it's a life in the Spirit. John 14:23, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, will come to him and make our home with him." When we embrace the word of God, when we embrace this Christian life, and we enter in this life of the Spirit, God comes to live in us. Now, I don't fully understand that, but I know that he's there and present. The gift of the indwelling Spirit is our assurance that we are dwelling in God and he is dwelling in us. 1 John 3:24 says, by this we know, by the Spirit he's given us. And I love Romans 8:16. You know that scripture. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:12-14. It says we're sealed with the Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit of promise. That means when you are born again, just like on that thing, what is it, chef's thing, whatever you call that apron? Yeah, it had Big Al on there. When you give your life to Christ, he seals you with his Holy Spirit of promise. Yeah. You receive the imprint of the very nature of God. I like that. It's a life in the Spirit. It's also a life of discipleship. 1 John 4:14-15 says, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Now, this whole thing of confessing Christ, it's really misunderstood. But I want to say this morning, first of all, that it's both the entrance and the evidence of being a Christian, of being one who is sealed with the Spirit, of being one who's walking in courageous love. John 14:6. We know that one. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Romans 10:9-10, we know that one too. It says that if you confess what? With your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But then Luke 6:46 says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? So this whole thing of getting back to confessing, it's not just saying I believe, but it's allowing the Spirit of God to transform us in such a way that our feet begin to follow what we say. A lot of people get it backwards. If I do this, and I do this, and I do this, then God will do this. But I can never do enough for God. Can you? He did everything for me. This cross represents the fact that everything is completed. When I came to him for salvation, I could not add one single act. When I come to him for healing, I cannot add one single act. When I come to him for strength, I cannot add one single act. We talked about this in the prayer room. There were times when Jesus would give people direction and say, go do this. And they would respond in faith. And they were healed. Or they were delivered. But he never did it the same way twice. Because it's a life in the Spirit, not a life of regulations. Now what we end up doing is we codify it. Because it sells books and seminars. And we have the 10 steps to receive your healing. Well, I want to tell you that there aren't 10 steps to receive salvation. There aren't 10 steps to receive your healing. There's the steps that God gives you as he speaks to you in the Spirit. He said to name and wash in the Jordan 7 times. He didn't ever say that in the Bible to anybody else. He said to the rich young ruler, sell everything you have and give to the poor. He didn't say that to anybody else. That story didn't turn out too good, but you know what I'm talking about. He said to the one guy, made a little mud spittle in his hands and put it on his eyes, said, go now wash your eyes and you'll see. Another guy just touched with spittle. Another guy just prayed over. Do you see yet? Not the same twice. You follow me? It's a life in the Spirit. It's not a life of rules and regulations and steps that you inlay and lay over everybody, but it's a life of learning how to walk in faith and allow faith to be translated through obedience. That means if I'm Naaman and he tells me to go wash in the Jordan, I do it. I don't form the washing in the Jordan school of healing. You laugh about that, but that's what happens, isn't it? I just obey him. When he says, Kirk, do this, I do it. And each time I do it, it's easier. It's a life in the Spirit. It's a life of discipleship. And it's a life of agape love. 1 John 4:16 says, and we know and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Who abides in him abides in love. No, wait. And he who abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. You could reverse it. That's all right. It's a life where we're called to live and abide in this thing called agape. We're not called to live and abide in phileo, although we do share phileo love. That's the Greek word for friendship. We're not called to live and abide in eros. The Bible doesn't use that word. There is sexual love within a marriage, but the Bible doesn't exhort us to that. The Bible exhorts us to agape. Agapao. That's love shown through action, commitment. God so loved the world that he gave. That's what we're called to. We are called to this type of love. Love is only validated. It's only real. It's only authentic when we give it away. The Christian is marked by a love that cannot stay within him. 1 John 3:16 says, he laid down his life. We ought to lay down our lives. 1 John 3:18 says, you got a coat. You see someone who doesn't have a coat. Give them your coat. Love in deed and in truth, not just in word. That was the thing that transformed my life. You know, I had so much. I was talking to my sister about our home we grew up in. And we both got a chance to go in it. In the bathroom, I was reminded that it was pink, and that could have contributed to this. But as a teenager, I had a lot of angst. You know, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what life had for me. I mean, I had everything going for me, but I just had all this inner turmoil, and I had a temper. And there was a mirror on that bathroom door, a long, full-length mirror, but behind that mirror, there was a hole. And that was a hole the size of my fist because in anger, I punched it out. And when I got to tour that home several years ago, I said, you still have that door? They said, we just got rid of it. I said, was the mirror still on it? She said, yes. For years and years and years, that mirror covered my anger. But God removed my anger. Love transforms. And when I gave my life to Christ, I was washed of that anger that controlled me. And I really started to look at people and I loved them. I remember driving down the street. I would just go, I love you, man. It was in the 70s. You could do that. Far out, man. I love you. Oh, I love you. I love you, man. Oh, cool, man. I love you. You do that now, they're going to haul you away. But it was like, cool, the love, man, back then. I was just love, woo, yeah. Love's only validated when we give it away. I better move on from that point. What's the victory of courageous love? So it's a life in the Spirit. It's a life of discipleship. It's a life of agape love. So what does it do for us? It gives us this great victory. And what is the victory? First of all, we have boldness in the day of judgment. Look at 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Will you read that with me, that last part? Because as he is, so are we in this world. That was pretty weak. Let's try it again. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Well, that's a mouthful. That is a mouthful. Well, let's kind of unwrap it a little bit. We are free from the fear of judgment. Because as he is, so are we. So how is he? Well, 1 John 4:10, he became our propitiation. Meaning he bore our wrath that we might receive his righteousness. And he has been made and declared the Son of God, fully righteous. He paid the penalty of our sin, and now we stand in him complete. How is he? He's raised from the dead. Romans 6:8-10. Death no longer has dominion over him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10 says, and I know this may mess up some of your eschatology, but it said, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is our future, folks. Embraced in the arms of Jesus. No wrath of God upon you. You are free from the judgment of God. Why do we keep beating ourselves up and judging ourselves? Why don't we learn to walk and live in the mercy and the love of God? We're not destined for wrath. There's no great white throne judgment for you and I. There's only the embrace of Christ. And we will hear these words to varying degree, albeit, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. So we have boldness in the day of judgment. That means we don't fear the judgment of God. God is not watching over you with a hammer, waiting for you to make some fatal mistake. So like whack-a-mole at Chuck E. Cheese, he'll whack you when you pop up. I used to love that with Hannah. Yeah, I see a father. You played that one, Jeremy, with your kids. I used to love that one with Hannah. Whack-a-mole. We go whack-a-mole, whack-a-mole. Boom, 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 boom. Boop, pow. That's the way people think about God. Oh, he's just waiting for me to make a mistake so he can pop. No, he isn't. You're not under his wrath. You have boldness in the day of judgment. And you have freedom, listen to me, from the crippling power of fear. Look at 1 John 4:18. And all of us who have been Christians for a while know this verse, but listen to it with all of your heart. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do or it involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, this is not talking about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs talks about the fear of the Lord. Travis talked about that wonderfully last night. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil and to love good. The fear of the Lord, of course, is to reverence God, to pursue him, to worship him. All of that, we should have that type of reverent fear. But there is a destructive fear, and the Greek word is the word phobos, and that's where we get the word phobia. And it's a crippling fear that grabs a hold of people's lives. And I see it not only in unbelievers, but I see believers who have allowed fear to wrap its tentacles around them and control them. Proverbs 29:25 calls fear a snare or a trap. Luke 21:26 says that men's hearts will fail them because of fear. And some Bible scholars believe that's speaking about people having heart attacks in the day of judgment. Let me tell you, if you have fear controlling your life, it will affect your health. It can bind you up so much that it'll bring sickness and disease upon you. Fear itself. Romans 8:15 tells us that there is a demonic component to fear. It says that we're not to allow ourselves to be brought back in bondage, the spirit of bondage, again to fear. Satan knows what pushes our buttons. And he will come and he will try to get us bound up again in fear. Now, the next point may seem quite simplistic, But it's really not. And just follow me on this. The root of fear. I believe, according to the scripture, that the root of fear is basically rooted in the uncertainty of our eternal destiny. Now, I have done countless funerals as a pastor. I've done funerals for people who have been a part of our churches that I've pastored. I've been called out of the blue just to do a funeral for someone I didn't know. And here's what I've observed. When it's a believer, there is a sense of rejoicing. There is a sense of peace. There is a sense of calm. Not that there isn't sorrow. I mean, there is the earthly sorrow of saying goodbye to someone that you dearly love. When my mom died, when my dad died, I mean, you know, it's not that there wasn't sorrow. But you remember when we went to San Antonio, we're all driving to where my mom was interned, and we were all laughing and joking as we're driving through the cemetery, and we thought, we made the comment, people would think we're really insensitive and weird. But there was joy. We were talking about our mother and remembering her life, and there was an overwhelming joy. The people who don't know Jesus, who don't have that inner assurance that they know that they know that they know that they're saved and they've been removed from the wrath of God and that they have an eternal home in heaven, they don't have that peace. They're bound by fear. Sorrow overtakes them. Many times they can't let go of the body. They cling and they have to be removed by the funeral attendants, because that's all there is for them. If you are not living in the reality of your salvation, you have opened the door for fear to come and begin to try to wrap its tentacles around you. As a believer, if you know that you know, listen to me, that you are His and He is yours. You're in His hands and no one can snatch you out. And that anything that can happen to you doesn't matter because you're already eternal. I go up in a plane. I never worry about it. I know if I go down, I'm going to be crying out to Jesus. Maybe like a girl, but I'll be crying out to Jesus. But I will be with Jesus. I don't know, you know. You never know until that moment. I hate medical stuff. You know this. I've shared this with you before. I hate medical stuff. I can't watch those medical shows. Karen loves it. She could watch every operation on TV. Freaks me out. I'm like getting wobbly kneed and everything. So when they were going to do the replacement of my heart valve, I just said, I ain't looking. I said, give me the cocktails sooner than later. They didn't give it to me soon enough. I determined I was not going to look at anything but look at the ceiling. I wasn't though afraid to die. I knew that I could die. Oh, that's a lack of faith, Pastor. Well, it's just reality. I mean, you go in there, you know, I'm trusting the Lord, but some people come out and some people don't come out. Herb Schneidau, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that last name, a great Foursquare pastor, godly man, believed in healing, prayed for people and they were healed, one of the most gentle giants that I ever knew, went home to be with the Lord on the operating table just in the past few weeks. So let's not, you know, I mean, you know, life is real, right? I was afraid, but I wasn't fearful. Does that make sense? I didn't want to see any saws or anything like that. I was shaking so bad, the nurse said, oh, he's cold. And they kept putting warm blankets on me. I was just scared to death about saws. But I wasn't afraid to die. You know, we're all afraid of the unknown. Or saws. I just remember that from when I was like 15 or something. I had my appendix out, and it must have been the drugs, but I remember a big saw. I remember going in there and seeing a big saw. I said, oh, man. From that point on, I was freaked out. Thank you. So the root of fear is that uncertainty. But let me tell you, the victory over fear is this, is that perfect love casts out fear. Now, a lot of times we don't understand, what is perfect love? You know, is it something you buy at the store? Is it something you get from reading your Bible? Is it something you get from having a fish on the back of your window? No, folks, listen. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:10, perfect love was manifested in Jesus. Philippians 2:5-10, perfect love was exemplified through Jesus. Romans 5:5, perfect love was poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Perfect love is Jesus. It's not a substance. It's not a force. It's not a thing. It's a person. And he said, I'll come into you. I'm knocking. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. It says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what? I'm going to come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. He comes in to our lives. That's the miracle of Christianity. That's the miracle of faith. That's the miracle of salvation, that you can't draw on a chalkboard. You can have a sketch of something, but perfect love is Jesus. And if you know him, he's in you. And when he's in you, fear cannot control you, because it casts out fear. Let me tell you, the disciples were going crazy. They were bailing away. The storms were going and the ship was all around. And Jesus was having a nap. How insensitive, they thought. Can you imagine? Here's Jesus sleeping and I'm bailing. Well, I bet you some of the disciples thought about bailing on Jesus, because he wasn't helping. He gets up and he says, what are you guys all afraid about? What he was basically saying is, perfect love is here. Perfect love is here. If perfect love is here, you don't have to fear. Hey, that rhymed. Make a poem out of that, brother. I'll stop right there so I don't get any copyright infringements or Facebook won't let me post it. Okay, worship team, come on up. We're closing. What are some of the promises relating to fear? Just listen to these as they come up. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 56:3-4. And Eddie wrote a song on this. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. Nothing. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous hand. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Why? Because he gave you Jesus. Okay, you guys don't look very excited about that. Oh, yeah, I got Jesus. Well, stand up. We're going to worship. Come on, stand up. I mean it.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Come on. Thank you. So I close with this. Oh, wait. She pulled the PowerPoint down. Leave it down. Here's for your notes. 1 John 4:19-21. Let me read the last verse. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. And he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So the three stepping stones to continuing to walk in the perfect love of Christ is, number one, first receive it. This morning, no matter where you are in your walk, receive his love anew this morning. Second, respond to it. Love calls you to to take steps in your life. And that is where faith and obedience meet. And finally, reinvest it. Receive it. Respond to it. Reinvest it. What do I mean by that? Give it away. Give it away. He didn't give you perfect love to keep. He gave you perfect love to give away. So, Lord, give us understanding as we worship and we close. Speak to our hearts about your perfect love. In Jesus' name, Eddie.
Cry your name. son, he did so.
Son.
Come and know his love. Come and know his love.
So this morning, I can't promise you that you'll never be afraid, because you will. But I can promise you that you don't have to live in fear. And the way that we move from that place to the place of courage, courageous love, is by embracing Jesus again completely and fully. For he is perfect love. So as we sing this last song, whether it's the first time or the 100th time, if you've been battling with fear over some area of your life and the enemies begin trying to wrap you up in that to control you again, or if you just say, Lord, I just want to live free, free in the love and the perfect love that you have bestowed on me, I'm just going to open the altars this morning for you just to come and say, Jesus, I come. I come earnestly. I come desperately. I want to know. I want to seek. And I want to find you. This is not anything about you responding to a message that I've preached. This is all about you responding to his perfect love for you. This is your time with him. And so the altars are open as we close with this last song. If he speaks to you by the Spirit to come, then let faith meet obedience as he pours out his love upon you this morning.
Savior, my Christ.
we close, to lift your hands before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we lift you up this morning. Jesus, we lift you up. Holy Spirit, we lift you up this morning. We come to you, for you are perfect love. And you live and you reign in our hearts and in our lives. So come in, perfect love. Jesus, rise up. Rise up in your power. Rise up in your glory and cast out all fear. In Jesus' name. Lord, let us live a life of courageous love. Let us live a life that's bold. Let us live a life that's unashamed. Let us live a life in the Spirit, a life of discipleship, and a life that continually extends the love of Christ to others. And as we do, let us walk in your freedom. Let us walk in your power. Let us walk in your boldness. For you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We lift you up. We give you glory. Oh God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you shalom, peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of body. Complete peace through his perfect love. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. Have a wonderful, blessed day.